AL3.
What?
Tell me a Star Wars joke.
What's Han Solo's least favorite coffee shop? Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, L3.
What?
Nothing.
Welcome back to the Make or Break show, where each week we bring you stories of incredible makers and the make or break moments that have defined them along the way. I'm your host, Brandon Cullum, and this week we chat with Patrick Stefanski about his Alexa-controlled, 3D-printed L3 3-7 droid from Solo, A Star Wars Story. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the show. This is a special showcase edition of the Make or Break Show, where we feature some of the cool projects that you guys are working on. And if you guys would like to be on an upcoming episode of the show, just hit me up over on Instagram at the Make or Break Shop. Would love to talk about your guys' projects and how you put them together. This week's one is real fun. I saw this popping up a few different places. First and foremost, it is a droid from the most recent Star Wars movie, Solo. This is L337, and the droid builds I love seeing. If you guys have not heard, I had Mike Senna on last December, who has built his own R2-D2 and BB-8 and even a Wally. He's kind of a big deal, at least in this world, and we get into that a little bit with Patrick. But the cool part about his build is that it's Alexa-controlled. So if you guys can imagine a droid that wakes up and looks at you when you say its name, and then, in this case, she talks back to you. That is what this is. It's a really cool build. Include a link in the show notes to the video. Be sure and check that out. But we really get into kind of the process of 3D printing, especially for props, electronics, and then even a little bit how like painting and all that kind of stuff works too. So if you guys want to get into any of that world, this is a cool project to look at. A lot of things that you guys can learn. So without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Patrick. All right, guys, I want to welcome you back to the Make or Break Show, hanging out with Patrick, calling in all the way from New Jersey. Super excited to talk robots and Star Wars, two things that are very close to my heart. You had some cool builds that we're going to dive into, but man, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Cool, man. Well, I'd love to get into your background a little bit. First of all, this is not your day job, right? You are not a droid builder for like Lucas or anything.
Correct. No, not yet. But not yes, yet. For my day job, I do 3D rendering, actually. So
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been building 3D models professionally for a long time, and going into the 3D printing side of things was kind of like a natural extension of my day job.
Yeah. What type of stuff?
I do a lot of corporate store design renderings and merchandising type renderings for retail brands.
Cool. What do you use for the day job?
Yeah, so my day job is the same thing that I use for all my robotics projects. My main program is 3D Studio Max, and that's what generates all of my 3D models. It's probably not the most ideal program for 3D printing because it doesn't use any kind of vectors or any kind of NURBS type modeling. It's very polygon based, but it's been a great transition for me into using the program that I use for my day job to build all of these fun engineering type projects.
Yeah, yeah. So is that Autodesk? Is that their?
That is Autodesk. Yeah, that's their main graphics 3D program.
Gotcha.
Like they also have their Fusion, which is more architectural, like more prototyping, which is probably the better program to be using for 3D printed parts if that's what you're getting into. But yeah, for me, it's just been, this is like my main program. I love this thing so much.
So are you messing around with like meshes? Is that kind of the workflow?
It's all polygon modeling. Okay. So like I start with a box or I start with a sphere, and from there I can like extrude it and cut it and slice it and make it into whatever I need to do.
That's cool. So it's almost like you're sculpting just digitally versus kind of the Fusion where you're making like you mentioned, like the constrained sketch and then expanding.
Exactly.
It out,
yeah. Fusion is very like technical drawing into model. Whereas for me, it's just start with, kind of like you said, sculpting, start with like a block of clay and kind of build it out to whatever shape you need it to be. And then I have some tools that allow me to intersect things. So if I have a screw, I could just like subtract that screw from the sculpture. And then there's a screw hole for me to use in real life. Yeah. And it's just a really cool hands-on sculpting type way of doing everything.
That's really cool. I have played around a little bit, Fusion definitely, but then like with Maya, and then some of those just for on the animation side of things, like trying to do 3D animation. And then I just would get into the models and like all the things that people were building. I'm like, this stuff is crazy what people can make. So
This program is, yeah, Maya and 3D Studio Max are like the same program basically, and they're so powerful. When I originally got into this, it was to do animation. My dreams going to school was to be like a big Pixar animator.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out animation's like really hard.
Yeah.
I wasn't super great at it, but what I was good at was making the more realistic image. I couldn't make the cool little penguin that danced around all nice, but I could make an image that looked super photo real. And that ended up being like a really good marketable skill for me. I went from school right into architectural rendering.
Oh, cool.
And then that was kind of a progression into the more store design and merchandising type renderings, which is what I do today. I was able to start my own business. I've been doing my own thing for about 8 years now, and it allows me to stay at home to work, which is cool. I have two small children, so being home with them is fun. And it gives me a great opportunity to work on this super fun hobby, which I've been really getting into over the past couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. So where'd you go to school?
I went to school at the New York Institute of Technology in Manhattan.
Okay.
I had gone to Penn State for 2 years. I'm from Pennsylvania, so going to the state school was kind of like the natural thing to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I used that to get kind of my core classes out of the way. And then I went to art school in New York, which is like a super cool thing for anyone who wants to be in the fine arts area. That's the place to be. And it was a lot of fun. And there I really kind of discovered 3D graphics and really honed my skills and kind of found out what I was good at as opposed to what I necessarily wanted to do. And I found a great career out of it.
That's awesome. Pixar, I love that you wanted to be a Pixar artist as well. I had the same thing, but I was like, I can't make this stuff move like these folks can. So
yeah, that's good. It's definitely like something you're born with, almost like being good at music. Like you can study music all you want, but if you don't have that thing that just makes it come alive, then it's just so difficult. But I really like the other side of it, which is the photo realness, like playing with the lightings and tweaking certain things to make it look real. That's an also something I didn't even know about, but became a really fun corner of that industry for me.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
I have a 3-year-old girl and a 1-year-old boy.
Okay. Awesome. We just had our first daughter. She's like 4 months now. And I'm telling my wife, she's going to be my excuse for going to Pixar movies. Cause now I just go by myself and I'm like that creepy guy in the back. Yeah. I was like, I need to bring a child to see him. So
yeah, kids are great for letting your dorky side come out a little bit. Like this, all the Star Wars stuff, it's easy just to be like, oh yeah, I have kids. Of course. Yeah. Star Wars, it's for the kids, but no way.
Yeah. 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 I'm like, what are the costumes that I can build for an excuse to buy a 3D printer? Like what's some of the stuff that I can
exactly. Convince? Yeah.
But cool. So, all right. So you got into photorealistic rendering for your day job. Where did like the robotics and all that kind of enter your story? Have you always kind of been into that stuff even growing up?
I have not. It's actually, it came from, I would say, I guess it was 2011 or 2012. I started hearing more about like desktop 3D printers becoming a feasible product that you could buy.
Yeah.
And the idea of building a model and printing it out was a lot of fun. So I bought a MakerBot, which was kind of the leading printer at the time. And for the first 2 weeks, I did what pretty much everyone does when they get a 3D printer. They print out little tiny plastic knickknacks and completely useless things. And I started feeling a little bit guilty that I spent all this money on something. But I started looking into building an R2-D2. I had seen the R2-D2 Builders Club out there and people making these amazing droids. I knew that someone had probably forged the way a little bit with the robotics end and the 3D printing end, and I could kind of follow in the footsteps and make this really cool build. And right around the time I started looking into that, the Force Awakens movie was coming out, and we got to see BB-8 rolling across the screen for the first time. And I think everyone thought in the beginning that it was just like CGI, rolling droid, not possible. But then those guys at ILM at the Star Wars Celebration that year, they rolled out a real working BB-8 onto the stage, blew everybody's mind, and including me. I could not believe that that thing was actually rolling around. And through that, I found the BB-8 Builders Club. And that's where they have all the 3D files you would need to build like a static BB-8. If you just wanted to have a decoration in your office of a BB-8, they have all the 3D files available for free. So I thought, here's a great use for this 3D printer that I built. I can make a static office decoration, and that'll be great. And as I started going into the club more, I started seeing that some of these guys were trying to make it move, which to me was super cool. I thought it was just these crazy guys at ILM, these professional robot builders. But here you have hobbyists that are actually pulling it off. The one that I followed the most was James Bruton. I don't know if you're aware of him.
Okay.
He's a super huge YouTube robot builder.
His
version 3 of BB-8 was super cool, and I kind of followed in his footsteps on the robotics end, and that was my first ever robotics project, was building a BB-8. So I didn't like start with something small. I decided to kind of do the full immersion robotics course of building a BB-8. And in the end, I had a BB-8 that worked, and I was totally hooked on this hobby. I thought this was the coolest thing in the world, and I started looking at more projects, and I kept finding that no matter what, Star Wars droids were just like the ultimate thing for me to build because I love Star Wars. The droids are always cool. They put a lot of time into developing those characters, so I just kept building that. The next thing I started doing was Chopper from the Star Wars Rebels cartoon.
Yeah.
Watch that. I love that droid. I think he's super cool, and there's not too many of them out there yet, so I kind of, this one I decided I wanted to 100% build it myself. No using anyone else's files. I am kind of doing my own thing in terms of the robotics end and the aesthetic end. I'm building all the skins and building all the internal stuff myself.
That's cool. That's crazy you started with BB-8. I had Mike Senna on the podcast, right?
Oh, when, yeah.
I think Rogue One came out. So it was, over Christmas. So just a little while ago, Last Jedi. And like he had mentioned, yeah, seeing the BB-8 roll across, and they're all, because he had built all the R2s and stuff, and just how difficult that was. Have you always just been kind of like jump full in? Like, I'm not just going to make like a little scale like R2-D2, but I'm going to do one of the hardest things there is to build on at least the robot side of things?
That's definitely the way I try to approach stuff with like any kind of computer program or even like graphics programs. I tend to try to just pick something super hard and work my way through it rather than build it up gradually, because I find that you miss a lot when you're building up gradually, and just doing it with a real world problem that you're trying to solve kind of gives you, oh, I don't know how to do this. Let me Google it. Oh, now I know how to do that, which leads me to here, which gives you another problem to solve. And you just pick stuff up really quickly and you progress through the program or the project as much faster than I think you would if you try to learn generic steps and then apply it to the project.
How did you learn the electronics piece?
YouTube, totally. Okay. When I first started, I didn't even know how to solder a wire. I never had a soldering iron or anything. And then that kind of stuff would come up. I bought the Arduino and I have to hook it up to this board. So I went out to Lowe's, got a soldering iron, YouTubed how to solder. And that was basically how I did everything for that first project. It took me like 2 years to build BB-8. I think an experienced builder could probably do it in like 6 months or 8 months. It took me a long time, but I definitely honed a lot of skills, and now I'm starting to get it more, and all my new projects are definitely moving along a lot quicker.
Is that the programming piece as well? Did you have any of that background?
No, I'd done like C++ in high school and a little bit in college, but I never really like excelled at it, and it was kind of a class that I had to take as opposed to a class that I wanted to take, so it was never something I loved. But then once I started getting into the Arduino IDE, it's kind of like C++, and I'm really starting to get a hold of that now. I can finally write my own programs rather than just looking up other people's programs and hacking it into something. So I'm starting to get more comfortable in that environment, which is cool.
Yeah, that's real cool. Okay, so I want to get into your L3 build from Solo. First off, yay or nay on Solo in general as a movie?
I think I might be the only person on the internet who really liked that movie a lot.
Okay,
I really enjoyed it. I went in with really low expectations, which is probably why I enjoyed it so much. I like Han Solo. He's cool. But when they first announced, like, we're doing a movie about Han Solo, I think every single person predicted the plot. Like, okay, he's going to start off small. He's going to meet Chewie. He's going to get the Millennium Falcon. And then he's going to do the Kessel Run. Like, as soon as they announced the movie, I was like, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be lame. But I saw it, and it was a lot of fun. Like, it moved quickly, and the characters were cool. I thought the casting was great. Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, I think, was awesome.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed it. And I understand what people are saying, like the people who really hated on it, but I don't know. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. My wife is a huge Harrison Ford fan. Like, just grew up having big crushes on him when she was a lot younger. And so she's like banned it. She's like, I'm not gonna even see it. She's like, he's not here, so I don't know if I could do it. And I'm like, it's good, it's good.
Yeah, I liked it.
That's cool. All right, so if people do not know, L337 is one of the robots or one of the droids in the new movie. Where did the idea for like an electro-controlled voice assistant come? Was that something that came after you saw the droid, or was that something that came after you saw the movie?
It actually came in a few different parts. I'm really good at coming up with project ideas, but so I have a list of coming projects. Yeah. I'm not so good at finishing them, but yeah. So one of my projects was, if you see the logo for my YouTube channel, it's like a robot head.
Yeah.
And one of my project ideas was to make that an animated robot head that kind of raises his head, eyes light up. I didn't think about talking or anything, but that was like one little seed that I had. And then the other one was, someone on my Facebook linked a project where someone took a Billy the Bass. I don't know if you remember those things.
Oh, yeah.
Take me to the river.
Yeah, the talking basses on the walls.
Exactly. Yeah, someone attached Alexa to that so that whenever Alexa talked, the fish kind of popped up and moved.
Funny.
And I was like, so that kind of introduced me to using the Amazon voice services as a tool to drive a project. And then it was really when I heard L3 talk the first time and I heard that she had a female voice, and obviously Alexa has a female voice, I thought maybe I can combine all three of these ideas and make like this robot bus that I want to make using the Alexa to drive it. And now it's Star Wars, and no one else had been doing anything with L3 as far as I knew. So I can kind of be the first one with a serious L3 project, which I thought would be good. So yeah, I started it before the premiere came out. So I didn't even know anything about the character in any way. I kind of just dove right into this project. And then I was almost done with it when I saw the movie. And since I was only using screenshots at the time for the look of her, I found a lot of things that I did wrong. So I actually kind of went back and did a second one before I released the video, which worked out well because it let me fix a lot of things. And I think now it looks like her, and the British accent from the Alexa actually kind of really matches the voice really well. And it came out great. I'm super happy with this project.
That's cool. So I didn't realize until I started watching your stuff that the Alexa, I guess the SDK, like it's so open. Was there a lot, I mean, is there a lot more stuff you could even do with it? Like, I will get into the build, but even stuff looking forward that you can do because kind of Alexa's tied into it?
Yeah, it's kind of like freemiumware almost. Like they give you a big chunk of it for free. Like you could set up your Alexa device, and the goal of it on their end is for you to build a product driven by them. And then if you ever want to make money on the product, you have to start purchasing stuff from Amazon.
Gotcha.
So the actual Alexa platform is, it's kind of robust, but there's definitely little things missing. For example, if you watch my video, I ask L3 to execute Order 66, and the real Alexa would say something Star Wars based on that, but she doesn't. So I guess there's certain functionalities in the SDK that just aren't there, which are available in the main Alexa, like the Echo Dot, for example.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay, so going, I guess, kind of through the build, does it all start with modeling, like 3D modeling? Is that kind of your starting point?
Exactly, yeah. So I had built like the outside, the skins of it, the way it looks. I built that first, and then I kind of worked my way in building like a structural part to mount all the electronics to. So I used the what it's going to look like in the end as kind of the shell for sizing and everything. And then I started inputting all the little components that I knew I was going to use, like the Raspberry Pi and like little amplifiers, some power distribution. All that came after I knew the final size of the droid. And since I don't have any dimensions, the actual size of the head is the exact size that I could use my print bed for.
Oh, okay,
so my
cool.
print bed is 300 millimeters by 300 millimeters, and her head is about 295 in diameter. So yeah, it just started with a rough 3D model, and then I just refined it both inside and out as I went.
So what 3D printer do you have?
I have two 3D printers. I have a TAS-5, which is made by Lulzbot. That's one of the higher end ones, and it was like the second printer that I bought. And then the second one I bought is a little bit on the lower end. It's a CR-10.
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap, but they've become so far that it's actually almost just as good as the TAS-5, which is super expensive. So I think from here on out, if I was buying them, now that I'm a little more experienced, I'd definitely stay with the lower end printers. But the TAS-5 is great, and the CR-10 is a super cool printer also.
Yeah, I've heard several people talk about the CR-10 because that's like, is it like Chinese built? Like it's almost like an off brand, but it's still like it does a great job.
Yeah, it's Chinese built, but what I did, there's a great, great company called Tiny Machines 3D, and they buy them from China and they get them into their shop, and they take out all the junk parts and they make sure all the good parts are working, and they test it and really run through everything and add the best firmware to it before they send it to you. So it's almost like a American middleman for a Chinese product.
Yeah.
And everyone who's used them like raves about them because their products work. And you'll see people who buy the cheapest version of the CR-10 from like GearBest or something, and 60% of them have a problem with them right out the gate. So I think doing that for me was great. I bought it from Tiny Machines, and I had a high quality printer like right out of the box, which was really good because setting up printers is super tedious. But yeah, having it come out of the box and be able to print super high quality because the nozzles are really small, and it's just a really great printer, and I couldn't be happier with it.
That's cool. Yeah, I hadn't heard of Tiny Machines. I'll have to check them out because I definitely want to get more into 3D printing. And I've been looking at the CR-10, but yeah, like you mentioned, getting it from GearBest and not really knowing what's going to be in the box when you open it up. So I'll have to check them
out. Exactly. Anyone on the 3D printing forums who like says, what should I get? I say, yeah, definitely get a CR-10 for your first one, but definitely get it through Tiny Machines
cool.
if you could.
So one thing I guess I haven't really thought through definitely the outside shell when you're printing something or you're modeling. But like when you're doing the internals, like are you actually bringing in like a Raspberry Pi like in your 3D model? Is that something like trying to figure out the spacing and where things are going to fit? Or is that something you kind of figure out once you actually have the physical model printed out?
Yeah, it depends on the component, but like the Raspberry Pi, for example, there's a website called GrabCAD, which is it's like a user content generated CAD model site. So basically I can go on there and type in Raspberry Pi 3 and I can download a 3D model of a Raspberry Pi 3 for free. And like the free part of it is you give and you take. So when I have a model, I upload it to there and then I can drag that right into the thing and the dimensions are perfect and I can use like the holes to line up everything. There's some more off, like the amplifier I used in this project, it's kind of an off-brand Chinese thing. So there's no model for it online. So I would just measure out the mounting holes and then make like a generic object in my file and then line it up as I need to.
Gotcha. So how long were the prints?
They varied. I would say the biggest two pieces were like that, the base and the neck, which is a taller piece. That was probably about 15 hours. And then the full circumference of the head, like where all the faces, the eye and all that going around, that was probably another 15 or 20 hours. I would say all in all, it was probably like 200 hours of printing with all mistakes and everything.
Gotcha. What is the longest print you've done that failed?
Oh, geez. Those are heartbreaking. I think there's been a lot. I would say when I was doing BB-8, I tried many, many times to print the head in one piece. The thing about BB-8's head is that any extra weight will just make it fall off.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do iterations and iterations of the head that were getting thinner and thinner and lighter and lighter. And yeah, I'd say I had a good one going that was probably like 42 hours. And then I like looked away for a minute and it messed up just enough that I couldn't fix it later by stopping and just printing out what was left. And it was just, I had to chuck away a 42-hour print. It happens. If you're into 3D printing, you know the feeling and it sucks, but
you
just got to dive right back in.
It's part of it. All right. So you have the prints. Is electronics, is that the next piece that you did?
Yeah, definitely. So I would probably do power distribution next, because the thing that drives me crazy about robotics in general is that if you have five different components inside the head, you can almost guarantee that they are going to require five different voltages. Like this one needs 12, this one needs 5, and this one needs 5, but at a bigger amperage. So what I try to do is I take the main power from the wall and then I set up a little power distribution center. And from there, I kind of send it off into different converters or capacitors, whatever I need. So that's usually a big step because that takes up some space. And you also want to plan where the ends of those are going to be. So you want your 5-volt one to go closest to the 5-volt component, obviously. So that takes a little bit of planning, especially inside of a tight space like the head. But I would say it goes 3D model to power distribution and then finally getting everything wired and then coding it all up.
Gotcha. And you mentioned the coding. You're starting to get to where you can write your own. But was this a program that you hacked together or pulled from some other projects?
So currently, this is in like this version one of the L3. I'm using an Arduino and a Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
The Arduino code is super simple. So yeah, that I just wrote really quickly. The Raspberry Pi side of it, I'm kind of inexperienced at. A lot of that came from the Amazon SDK website. Okay. They have some great tutorials. And I also have a friend who's really good at that kind of like Linux-based coding. So he helped me out a lot just getting through kind of the main bulk of the coding. But the Amazon voice services, they really set up the code pretty well for you.
That's cool. What's the Arduino? What's that running?
An Arduino, it's a small microcontroller, and that just runs on this project right now. It's running the servo and the lights.
Okay.
So basically, if you look at a real Echo Dot, when Alexa's talking or when she's thinking, little lights come on, and the Raspberry Pi 3 lets you replicate that with its pinout. So it'll set a couple pins high.
Okay.
So I've just been using those pins as a trigger for the Arduino move the servo and turn the lights on.
That's cool. That's sweet. So once you get it mostly working, one thing I loved about the video is you'd mentioned the wires, because I feel like wire management is a pain too. And you're like, it seems like this one gave you a little bit of a bonus because it has all the wires sticking out as part of the actual build.
Definitely. If you take a look, I think it's part 5 of my chopper build. I was doing the wiring for the head. That video took me so long because I was so meticulous about making sure none of these wires were sticking up.
Yeah.
Because if you open up my BB-8 right now, the inside of that BB-8 is like a rat's nest of wires. And I took the BB-8 to an elementary school to show some kids like there was a STEM class and I was rolling it around for them. While I was there, every time I did something, a wire got pulled out. So I would like move the droid forward and then my Bluetooth connection got yanked out. So the whole droid shut down. Then I'd have to open it up. I fixed that. And then something else pulled out and the power on the left side of the droid went out. And I was just like freaking out. And it was all because it was so disorganized because I was new to what I was doing, didn't care about wires. I just wanted to see it work. So with Chopper, I was like, no. And this one, I'm going to have all these head arms coming out. These wires are going to be so tightly packed. I made a whole video about neat wire management. And it's fun and it's cool. But for L3, it was great to break free from that and just be able to go back to wherever this wire ends up. That's where this wire ends up. Because, yeah, her head has all kinds of wires hanging down from it. And it adds a lot to like the final look of it. So I was more than happy to just let it go.
That's cool. And then I liked your the videos that you have done, especially on the Clone Trooper helmet. I'll make sure to include a link in the show notes, just on your painting and finishing process, because I feel like that's something that at least I would like kind of gloss over, like, oh yeah, I want to get to that point, I can make it look right. But was that something hard to learn, or is it just one of those you just watched a ton of videos to learn to kind of paint and finish and weather your projects?
I did watch a ton of videos. Yeah, a lot of it is, it's pretty simple as far as painting goes because it's not a lot of freehand painting. Yeah. It's a lot of masking stuff off. So then you just, if you can just take your time and kind of be like really careful with your tape, then you can kind of be free with your spray paint can. So for some reason, sitting in a room and like meticulously lining up paint tape for me, like that seems, I don't know, I enjoy it. Like yeah. It's cool to like really mask things off and then you just spray it and it just looks good. And it looks like you're this amazing artist. Really all you did was line up some tape. It's great. And then the weathering is a little bit more artistic because that is freehand painting. I learned that when I was doing the BB-8. A lot of people weather theirs. And there's a guy in the R2 Builders Club named Ian Martin who made a great video about weathering his BB-8. And that kind of gave me the foundation for the basics of it, like how you do washes and then you do dry brushing. And then some other guys in the other Clone Trooper builders introduced me to airbrushing as well. So now it's just these three techniques of doing paint washes to make it look a little dirty, then doing like a dry brushing to make it look really dirty, and then adding an airbrushed contour line around the whole thing.
Yeah.
For some reason, that extra contour line of just darkness along all the edges really makes it look, it makes it like pop instead of just kind of being like a blah look of dirt. The airbrushing, adding that on, really changed the way my projects looked for the better, for sure.
The airbrushing almost feels like, especially like live theater, when everyone's wearing makeup so you can see like the features of people's face, like it almost feels like the same kind of idea.
Totally.
That's sweet. So I'm assuming you have it. Is it right next to you right now?
Yeah, that's why I keep looking at it.
I was like, I think he's looking over there at it. I'm not sure. But.
Yeah.
So is it going to stay kind of in your shop? Is that your plans for it?
What's that?
Is it going to stay in your shop? Is that your plans for it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I like having all these things around. My wife called it a robot graveyard because as soon as I'm done working on them, I take all the batteries out and these things just stay kind of static. But yeah, I have like the helmets lined up on the desk and L3's right next to them right now. I'm working on a version 2 of the L3, which is updating some of the components and getting rid of that Arduino that we talked about. So right now her head's kind of opened up and I'm just working on that.
Is the end goal, will she kind of be your permanent Alexa in the shop, like voice assistant? Is that what you're thinking?
That is definitely the goal. I would love to have it plugged in. And then, like, I use Alexa a lot in my house, and my kids use it too. Yeah. Like, they like to play music on it. So it would be cool just to have her on all the time, and I could just have her play an audiobook or put on some music or whatever I want to do. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That's really cool. I know a lot of people just enjoy printing and building, but why kind of sharing, especially on YouTube? Because that's a whole nother, especially the video production side of it, and your videos are great. What was kind of the inspiration to share your work out there, just in that way too.
Yeah. So it started again with my BB-8 project. I really enjoy the 3D modeling side of things. So even though these files were available, I tended to make my own and modify what was already there quite a bit. And then when I would post pictures, people would say, oh, like, can you share that file? How did you do that? So I started, whenever I was doing something that was kind of out of the box, I would just make like a short video, just holding my cell phone up and kind of doing it. And people liked them. I got a lot of good feedback from just the videos that I had done. And I really enjoyed the process of making the video. I like video editing. So when I was done with BB-8 and I started Chopper, which was like my first, like my own build, I decided to document it and put it out on YouTube.
That's cool. So for people that want to get into maybe more the droid side, or especially kind of the prop building Or we'll go on the droid side. So you mentioned the Builders Group a couple places. Are those good places to kind of point people? Maybe they don't have much experience either on the modeling or the printing side of things. Any good places to start?
Yeah, definitely. First, there's different groups for each droid. So let's just take R2, for example, because R2-D2 is the biggest droid Builders Group. If you wanted to build an R2-D2, the R2-D2 Builders Group, you could build it 100 different ways, and there's been 100 people who have done it that way before you. So there's a great path carved out for any kind of beginner. You could buy parts from people if you don't want to make them yourself. You could use people's files. People are very open about sharing their files. And if you have any questions, you know for a fact that people have run into your exact issue and there's a solution. So it's a great handheld process for building a droid, but you still have all the work to do. So it's not like someone's doing it for you. It's just a great community for sharing knowledge and sharing files and sharing parts. And it's there. Everyone I've met in all the builder communities and all of the 501st costuming communities, they're all just like the nicest people, and they're super eager to help everyone out who's starting or getting into the whole thing.
Yeah, it seems like it's open source in like the truest sense, in like the physical
world. It really is.
That's cool. What projects do you have coming? Do you have more droids, or are you just waiting for more movies to find more droids?
Yeah, well, I just heard yesterday that they're not doing any more of those Star Wars stories. So.
Oh, really? I feel like I saw an article. So they're canon, the rest of them?
Yeah, it looks like Solo did like really terrible in terms of like financial return. So they're putting the brakes on those Solo story or the Star Wars stories for the time being, at least. So I don't think there's going to be any standalone movies, at least not in this next 2-year iteration.
Right.
But I have a lot of projects that I want to do non-Star Wars related. One that I'm really hoping to do soon is you said you have a small child. Do you use a Mamaru?
I've seen them. Yeah, I know what they are. We don't have one, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. That was like our third parent. And every time someone came to our house, every single person would say, wow, wouldn't it be cool if they made one of those for an adult?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my next goal, is to make a adult size Mamaru and maybe put it in my, so I've been looking forward to that. I have a South Park project I want to do. I have all these projects that I'm dying to get to, but I definitely need to finish my chopper build first. And I want to finish that clone costume also.
That's cool. Well, Fleetman, I appreciate your time and jumping on and chatting with me. For people that want to check out your stuff, is the best place just Patchbots on YouTube or any other places you'd send them?
Definitely youtube.com/patchbots. That's where I put pretty much everything. I have Instagram also, same Patchbots handle, but YouTube is definitely where I put all my video content.
And you mentioned like the files and everything are over on GitHub, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. GitHub.com/patchbots has all of my all the 3D files I made for the clone trooper helmet, all the files for L3, and eventually I'm going to put all my chopper files up there. That is still very much a work in progress, so I'm not too eager to send out parts that I'm not sure are going to work 100%. But once they do, I'm definitely going to put them up there, and anyone can download them, modify them, use them, do whatever they want with them.
Cool, man. Well, thank you so much for jumping on and chat with me. It was a blast.
All right, great. Thanks, Brandon.